All right, so we thought that maybe we should wait till the end of the State of the Union address so that we can address some of the issues that your good friend and confidant and cohort and ally and colleague, Joe Biden, could talk about what he has to say, but I have no interest in watching this. I mean, look, what is he going to say? As we are recording, he is giving the State of the Union address, and we really couldn't care less. I am interested in what the young senator is going to say in rebuttal. She's looks Stefanik great. Or, no, it's not Stefanik. I forget her name. Katie something. Anyway, we'll wait to hear about that. But it's always interesting to hear. And she loves Trump. Trump loves her. It's great. Anyway, he's going to say the usual mumbo jumbo crap, right? He's going to. I was just on Newsmax about this. What is he going to say? Of course, he's going to gaslight. He's going to say that the economy is fantastic, inflation's under control. He's sticking it to the Israelis to stop this madness. He's supporting the Palestinians, but he's actually supporting Hamas. He's helping the Ukrainians. He's keeping the Chinese at bay somehow. He understands that there are problems at the border, but the border has never been more secure. And then what else? So Bidenomics, he's created 2 million X jobs. He's going to say that.
Yeah.
Never mind that there was no rhyme or reason to that. How did you create it? Did you go out there and just like God create things? And here's a job for you. And here's another job for you. Okay, so that's another thing. Then he's going to say that inflation is under control. It's not, of course, but inflation is wildly out of control. And then he's going to say that the stock market is doing great. And he's going to be really proud of that. The stock market, it is doing pretty well. But that's because nobody has any other option. It's the only place to invest. You can invest in real estate, right? I mean, it's not a good place to invest. People can't borrow money to buy these properties because the interest rates are so high. And inflation is so high. So people want to park their money in the stock market because they will get a decent return against inflation and they have no other options, right? That's the reason why the market is doing well. In fact, it's a little bit dangerous because if that's the reason why the stock market is doing well, and I suspect that it is the reason why, then it's a false inflation. It's a froth that will eventually tamper down once the economy does rebound. And then they'll say, look, under Trump, even though real estate deals will be much better, then Trump will come in, real estate deals will get better, other investments will get better, hopefully inflation gets down as well. People will pull out of the stock market to invest in other things. And then they'll say, look, the market has gone down under Joe Biden. It was so high. No, it was froth. That's what it was. Anyway, that's what's going to happen in the State of the Union. He's going to gaslight. He's going to just out and out lie about these things. He's going to say the crime is way down. He will say all these things. The Democrats on his side of the aisle will be barking like seals. Yes, that's fantastic. It's great. He'll express his disappointment with this or that issue. But he will definitely also talk about Trump being the biggest threat to democracy ever.
Yeah.
And at some point he'll say, well, I better not say anything because, I don't want to. He does that a lot. That's his trick, right?
Yeah.
We talked about this last week, I think. So he's going to pull one of those. I suspect. I don't know. I'm not 100% predicting it. And then he's also going to talk about abortion. Like we need to protect it. And if we don't continue with our administration, you can rest assured that abortion will be further eroded. Your right to an abortion, your right to kill a baby. That's Devin's very happy about that. tell me more. Now, as we speak, also big news has come out recently that the White House has been flying people directly over our borders from hostile countries such as Venezuela and Iran, but from other countries directly over our border. It's to 43 different airports in our country. It's like 400,000 people.
Not from America to America, but from Venezuela to America.
Right. We flew them directly from Venezuela. Oh, you didn't know this?
No.
Yeah, that reports are coming out now. Yeah. So understand this, Devin, that it's not enough to not stop them at the border.
Yes.
It's not enough. to sue the state of Texas to make sure that Texas doesn't put barbed wire on the border. It's not enough that they send federal agents to go cut that wire on the border. You have to now actively fly these people over the border at taxpayers' expense.
Because there's too long of a line at the border? Or
they're doing it because they want... I may get into think that maybe. No, I can't go there. It's crazy talk, man. I don't know. Hey, oh, you want to know?
Yeah.
You want to know the reason?
Yeah.
Devin is begging me to tell him the reason why.
I would love to know, yeah.
Well, maybe I mean, don't laugh at this idea right away, but do you think that maybe the Biden White House wants these illegals in the country? I don't know. Is that so absurd an idea?
That's wild.
But you're not really that surprised, are you? So, I mean...
But why would he want them to join the military and different police forces and have a right to guns all over our country? Kind of interesting as they're committing crimes. It's almost as if it's something China thinks is funny. Yeah. I can't believe it. It's so... And we have so few people in Congress willing to do anything about it.
Well, look, we've known this. I mean, we can joke about this, but they're making it even more clear that they're desperate to have illegals come into the country, right? I mean, once they actually sued the state of Texas to prevent them from enforcing the immigration laws, that's when you knew. You could have played the game that the reason why so many people are coming over the border is that there's that much more destitute issues from these other countries, and they're desperate to come to America, the land of the free. And Biden has given them such a great opportunity, this because he's made America so great that they want to enjoy the spoils of America. You could say that, and that we are overwhelmed at the border, the security at the border, right? And they have to, what can they do? They just can't do it.
Yeah.
You could argue that. Right. But then to actively not allow Texas to protect the border, that I can't abide. So anyway, it was a big issue, obviously, for the Super Tuesday voters. And they feel that immigration is a huge, big muscle ball of a problem. And they want it fixed. But the left thinks that that's a silly notion. And here is Rachel Maddow, your girlfriend, speaking exactly on this issue on MSNBC. Check this out. I'm going to make sure that everything is all set up here. Let's go ahead and play that.
If you look at some of these exit polls, I mean, I live in Virginia. Immigration was the number one issue. Again, these could change in Virginia.
Well, Virginia does have a border with West Virginia.
That's so funny because, only people on the border with Mexico can have a reasonable concern about immigration, right?
Yeah.
I mean, look, I don't even know where to begin with this nonsense, right? So you can't be concerned about crime if you don't live in a city like New York City or Los Angeles or otherwise. That's not of concern to you?
Yeah.
These women, they really think they're very funny, first of all, and that they've hit upon a very funny point. Like, how could Virginians care about immigration? Maybe because you flew them into Virginia, these people, and now they're committing crimes. And I mean, there was one in Georgia. I took geography class, and I do recall that Georgia does not border with Mexico.
Right.
And an illegal immigrant raped that precious young lady. I think she was a nurse student.
Yeah.
And many other such similar crimes, and abusing the guy in New York. New York City does not border Mexico. Again, according to my geography class. I could be wrong.
Yeah.
Here we go. Let's continue on.
Very contested area.
Build a wall. What?
Okay. Well, I guess they just continued on with their laughter. Yeah. That is the essence of the left. They are totally tone deaf. No, I should say that they're simply blind to the issues at hand. And the issue is hand, that they don't recognize that immigration is an issue is going to be to our benefit. They're a great detriment and to our benefit. Look, they point out that the election of the midterms of 2022, they point out correctly that we didn't see the abortion issue as big as they saw it. And they played it up. I mean, maybe too much. They mischaracterized it. I get it. But they still pushed it. And abortion became a big issue in 2022 because it was just fresh off the heels of the Supreme Court decision, basically overturning Roe v. Wade and its progeny. Okay, I get it. But this immigration? Yeah. Let's, I mean, on the abortion issue, a woman can still have an abortion if your state favors abortion. If you're in California, you're not going to have a problem getting an abortion.
Right.
Not that I'm encouraging it. I'm saying the whole point of the Supreme Court decision was to simply to say, look, it's not a federal issue anymore. You can decide this on a state-by-state basis. Okay, that's it. That's okay. Minnesota, you're going to get an abortion. And frankly, just about every state, you're going to be able to get an abortion. Maybe not Utah. Maybe not Alaska. I don't know what the rules will be. Maybe it'll be restricted.
Right.
But that was the hullabaloo about abortion. But this immigration, that is a federal issue. And it does affect everyone. And they're everywhere in every state because you made it so.
Yeah.
And then you're laughing at Virginians because they're not bordering Mexico.
Yeah.
But the good news is I think they actually believe this. I think a lot of other lefties believe this, that it's not really an issue.
Right.
But it is.
Yeah.
And Super Tuesday proved that, and people have been saying this over and over again. Anyway, that's the madness going on there. What do you expect? I mean, this is an issue. Now, speaking of a Super Tuesday, one of the issues has been about the Supreme Court decision on the Colorado ballot, and that was really fun. So let's talk about that because this filmmaker, you know, Michael Moore, he did Fahrenheit 9/11 and such. Yeah. He wants to encourage people to say uncommitted when it comes to Biden. He's from Michigan himself, and sure enough, he got his wish. 100,000 people in Michigan voted uncommitted to Biden, which is really, it really did send a message. But listen to the craziness of Michael Moore.
Not only must there be a ceasefire now, but that we must stop, as Senator Sanders said earlier today, we must stop sending, we shouldn't send another nickel, is what he said, in bombs, guns, planes, bullets to Israel, until they stop this madness. And I think that is how people felt going to the polls on Tuesday, that we needed to send a strong message. Now, for people listening to this to think, oh, why are we throwing the election to Trump? I don't know. One thing I think I feel safe saying is that those who voted uncommitted on Tuesday are not going to vote for Trump. My fear and the reason why those of us started this campaign is to basically save Biden from himself, because of what he's done to support this massacre, to fund it, to be the bank for Israel in the slaughter of these people, that he is essentially guaranteeing that thousands and thousands of Americans are going to stay home and not vote on election day because they're not going to vote for Trump.
Okay, so he might have a point when it comes to the 100,000 that he talked about, at least for Michigan, and maybe some other people throughout the other states. And you know what? If they're going to be that stupid and not vote for him because of that, because of his supposed support of Israel, great, fine, I'll take it.
Yeah.
Look, they want to commit suicide. That's their business. Okay.
Yeah.
I'm not going to stop him from these crazy arguments. He's everything else he says is madness. I mean, he's a lefty. This is really one of the major reasons why I left the Democrat Party. Israel really helped make it very clear to me that these people don't have moral clarity. If you cannot see that Israel is the good guy in the belly of a beast here, in a horrific neighborhood called the Middle East, Israel is the only democracy. It has people of all stripes and sizes and all genders. And I literally mean all genders because I don't believe the transgender crap. But if you're transgender, or whatever sexuality you or identification you have of yourself, you're fine in Israel. Yeah. You try pulling that crap in Jordan or Saudi Arabia or the Palestinian territories, you are dead.
Yeah.
Okay, that's it. They don't want you. Okay. And they talk about apartheid, and they talk about how, like, wait a minute. Apartheid suggests that there is a group of people that is majority, for one thing, and that you're alienating, you're forcing them to drink out of their own water fountains, and you have your own special, better water fountains, their own bathrooms, their own schools, and everything else. There's nothing like that in Israel, first of all. Secondly, there's a plurality of different kinds of people, right? Muslims are 20% of the population, to say nothing of a lot of other people. There are many Christians there as well. How many Jews do you think there are in Saudi Arabia, in Jordan, in the Palestinian territories?
Like
30%? Okay. He's saying 30%. Make, you know, an okay sign,
yeah,
and then drop the three fingers. You're making a zero. Yes, zero is the right answer.
Yeah.
And were the apartheid state Israel? Really? I guess you don't have an apartheid state because it's not possible for you, because there are no other people other than Muslims. As if somehow they're so understanding and tolerant and they accept all sorts of other people, the madness that these people think that they believe. And then he talks about the slaughter, so-called slaughter. Who says it's a slaughter? Have you seen the videos?
Yeah.
I mean, it's these soldiers are surgical. Some of them are my friends, and I know these people. And they are so careful. They are under strict orders to avoid women and children, only combatants, while the combatants themselves pretend to be civilians. And they have guns hidden in all these different apartments. They know exactly where to go to. And then they whip out these guns, and then they start battling with the soldiers. So the Israeli soldiers can't easily distinguish between combatants and civilians until that civilian pulls out a gun. Then they know he's a combatant.
Right.
Look, we've said this before. If Israel wanted to slaughter, to use his word, they could have slaughtered and destroyed Gaza within, what, 2 hours?
Yeah.
Just pulverized it. You think they don't have the manpower to do that? Of course they do. They have the air power, the manpower, all the fuselage, all the ammunition necessary to bomb, and that's it. There's a reason why you're seeing this slow process. And they don't ask themselves the question, well, why don't the Israelis just, if they're so evil, why didn't they do that in the first place? Why didn't they just bomb it to kingdom come and be done with it?
Yeah.
And they still call it a slaughter. It's amazing.
Yeah.
And this is, like, I think one of the main keys to remember is that Michael Moore is on the side of the culprits of October 7th. He, out of nowhere, for no reason, for no tactical reason, it doesn't help them. It actually makes it worse tactically. You're taking way too much time to do these silly little things. He's on the side of them. Yeah. And all the people who want to be on the side of them, you've just shown your cards. And there's going to be another year. There's going to be another stuff. And we'll say, hey, remember October 7th? And what side you were on then?
That's a really great point. That's a fantastic point.
Yeah.
Yeah. Isn't that something? I got to tell you, you know, it's funny because what Biden has said, and we talked about this last week, where he said, you know, this is an opportunity for Israel to adopt a two-state solution. Wait. That's like, I don't know. That's like... some thieves and horrific hordes of people come into your house, invade it, rape your wife and your daughters, and then somehow he says this is an opportunity for you to give one of your daughters to the marauders, right? Yeah. I mean, you know, this is your chance.
Yeah.
Like what? They just attacked us. They committed the greatest atrocity since World War II. And we're supposed to take that as an opportunity to help them?
Yeah.
You schmuck. What idiot thinks like this?
Yeah.
And as if like Israel wake up, oh man, an opportunity. Wow. No, an opportunity is when Israel pulverizes Gaza, and then brings them all to their knees. And then they say, hey, here's an opportunity for you to become a democracy.
Right.
Yeah, that's the opportunity. Here's an opportunity for you to not have any of your innocent civilians die because you're holding them hostage and also taking our people as hostages. That's your opportunity.
Yeah.
Until then, shut the frig up.
Right.
Okay? Opportunity. What madness. Anyway, so two-state solution. So a good friend of mine, it reminded me of the history of this. Not that it matters at this point, but in Italy, San Romano? They came up with a Transjordan solution, which was the idea that the Palestinians would be in what is now Jordan and in Transjordan. So that's the idea. And Israel would be Israel, and Israel would actually have a lot more land than it has today. And the Palestinians, the people, which was really a tribe more than anything else, actually would then join and be part of Jordan. That was the two-state solution. And that was accepted by the Americans and everyone else, League of Nations in particular. And that was in 1920,
yeah.
So a little bit more than 100 years ago. And here we are still talking about a two-state solution where Israel's much smaller than it was originally intended to be,
yeah.
Much smaller. And we still have to give, what do they want? They want, of course, they want all of the West Bank. They want all of Gaza. And no doubt they want half of Jerusalem, if not all of it, as their capital. And by the way, we've offered that 5 times.
Yeah.
Israel's, did you know that? Israel offered exactly what they wanted,
right.
Saying, we'll do it. Just let's work it out.
Right.
We'll talk about the specifics later, but you get the land. How about that? And they said, no. No, no, no. Anyway, we talked about last week, so
yeah.
it's madness. And you'll never be able to please the Palestinians. Like I said last week, if you were to give them everything they wanted, and call the Palestinian state Palestine, and now they're recognized in the UN and everything else, it would be only a year, maybe less, before they started launching attacks again.
Yeah.
And saying, oh, country? What country? What are you talking about? You didn't do anything. It was always like that.
Yeah.
Because we know that because we pulled out of Gaza unilaterally. We pulled out of the southern Lebanon unilaterally. We pulled out of places in West Bank unilaterally. We've given them hostages prisoners beyond belief in exchange for one soldier, which I think was madness, but that's another story.
Yeah.
We gave up the entire Sinai Peninsula,
yeah.
for nothing other than just a cold peace. Okay, that was it.
Yeah.
And they don't remember that. They couldn't give a damn about that. That is so 5 minutes ago.
Right.
Yeah. That seems to be their attitude.
Yeah.
Anyway, I can go on about this. We'll see. Look, God, you know, God knows that the most important thing here is that Israel is united. That is, I hate to say that the only thing good that came out of October 7. I mean, it nothing good in a sense came out of it, but circumstances on the ground have changed, let's put it that way,
to the
benefit of Israel, which is that Israel's really united. There's nobody in Israel, I mean, virtually nobody, who thinks that somehow we should not be fighting Gaza, that we should not be retaliating big time for what happened on October 7. There's virtually nobody there. And that's a good thing. They see the enemy. And here, nobody in Israel sees a two-state solution as a good solution.
Yeah, and not to keep on going with October 7th, but Israel is united and we are being forced to show our colors. Are you with goodness and democracy or are you with anti-Semitism and genocide? And it is very clear the dividing line, are you good or are you bad? And Michael Moore, I liked his first couple of movies, actually. And I was like, oh, no, Flint, Michigan, which still has
Roger
horrible water. Exactly, Roger and Me. And they still have bad water. The water has not been fixed. But this is – it's so evil. And we have to say, no, you're just evil.
Yeah. The reality is that there is such a thing as evil. And the Hamas is evil. Sadly, the Palestinian people have largely become evil as a result of their indoctrination. The things that they teach the kids, they actually teach the kids how to kill Jews. So look, I mean, at the end of the day, the whole area is just evil. Of course, there's some good people there who wouldn't, you know, have it that way. But it reminds me of Sodom and Gomorrah. You know, yeah. Can you find 10 people? Maybe there were. They couldn't even find 10 people. Yeah. Maybe there were 2 people. But do you spare Sodom and Gomorrah for the sake of those 2 people? The answer is no. And, you know, God made the right decision on that one. You know, I mean, right? I mean, can we deny it?
Yeah.
So Israel needs to do what it needs to do. It needs to completely wipe out Hamas. If they have to displace people for the time being, they're going to have to do that. Yeah. And if they go in military style and have a military occupation of Gaza again, so be it.
Yeah.
It just clearly was a big mistake when Ariel Sharon pulled out unilaterally from the Gaza Strip. It was that was madness. Yeah. And, you know, he thought he was somehow doing Israel a favor by reducing its economic, requirements in Gaza. But it's cost us so much more than had we just kept our military in Gaza, protecting the settlements there, the Jewish areas. But it's so much more damage has happened by pulling out.
Yeah.
And Ariel Sharon was such a military genius, and for him not to see that, it's very disappointing, and especially given the fact that Ariel Sharon and my father were really great friends. And my dad advised against it, and anyway, here we are. I mean, we had 4 wars with them, this being the 4th one, and the biggest one, of course, but still. And then that triggered Hezbollah fighting from the north and everything else. Anyway, let's move on to Super Tuesday and the effect of it. As you know, Nikki Haley pulled out of it and everything else. That was a big deal. And but one of the states that was deciding was Colorado. And as you know, there was a decision that was made from the Supreme Court 9-0 that, in fact, the ballot should still contain Donald Trump's name on it. It was not right for them to pull that out. It's not right for one person. In this case, this apparently very young Secretary of State woman, looking at her, at least on her Twitter file. And so she's arguing that she's glad that to have a ruling from the Supreme Court, as if that's what she wanted.
Yeah.
Americans now have clarity that Donald Trump is eligible to appear on the ballot ahead of Super Tuesday. Wait a minute. You are the one who made it unclear.
Yeah.
You created this kerfuffle, and now you're saying, oh, I'm glad we have, you know, clarity about that. It's like somebody who defrauds somebody and gets arrested, and then he says, oh, I'm glad the court judge ruled against me. Now we have clarity that I committed fraud. Yeah. I'm like, what a nut. Anyway, so here's what she says. She does express disappointment, though. And that's important because she's disappointed. And you don't want to make her disappointed.
No.
All right. You don't. I don't.
She'll take you off the ballot.
Yeah, be careful. I wouldn't want to meet her on the street, I'll tell you what.
God, no.
Here you go. Let's see what she has to say.
My larger reaction is disappointment. I do believe that states should be able under our Constitution to bar oath-breaking insurrectionists. And ultimately, this decision...
Wait. Oath-breaking insurrectionists. But you're deciding it. You, one person, decides that? That's the rule?
Yeah.
And what if we feel the same way about your Democrat nominee for president in the future?
Yeah.
Why can't we do that? We just take you off the ballot.
And we should. Yeah.
But of course, she doesn't think that. Yeah. They can't think past their nose.
Leaves open the door for Congress to act to pass authorizing legislation. But we know that Congress is a nearly non-functioning body.
Wait. So you want Congress to make a law that would enable you in the future to decide... So to authorize you to do what you shouldn't have been doing. So how does that help the discussion, this woman? So what's your dream position here? That you just want the authority to be able to do what the Supreme Court told you you couldn't do,
right?
So she thinks she's very intelligent. That's the only thing I get out of this is that she thinks very highly of herself.
Yeah.
Anyway, it's very bizarre. Let's see if there's anything more of this idiot has to say.
So ultimately, it will be up to the American voters to save our democracy in November.
Well, isn't that the point?
Yeah.
It's like, well, it's almost as if to say, gosh, I guess we'll have to just leave it to the voters. God, the stupid voters who don't know nothing like I do. I'm so much smarter. Yeah. You want to leave it to the, okay, have it your way. It's, you know, suit yourself.
Yeah.
These moron voters are going to decide. What an idiot.
Oh, God.
So that was a really fun part of it. And then you also had a reaction from Keith Olbermann. I'm sorry, I promised I wouldn't laugh. But this is good stuff. Okay, so he has a show apparently. you know, and apparently he thinks he's relevant. But check this out, okay, because this is pretty funny. Take a guess, Devin. Did he like the decision from the Supreme Court, or did he not like it?
I think he supported thoughtful, reasonable people, 100%. Yeah.
Well, you would be wrong.
Damn.
I know. 50-50 shot there, man.
Can never know with him.
You just don't know where Keith Olbermann stands. All right, here you go.
Conservatives on the Supreme Court are Trump's whores. Chief Justice Roberts is a Trump whore, and he can burn in hell. And Justice Alito is a Trump whore, and he can burn in hell. And Justice Gorsuch is a self-contradicting Trump whore, and he can burn in hell.
See, this is good analysis,
yeah.
Right? I want you to listen to this because this is what happens when you think things thoroughly and you take in all sorts of resources and you weigh different considerations, and then you come up to these really powerful conclusions. I salute him.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, he's not one of those guys who just starts with a conclusion. No, he's given us our information and having us come to our own conclusion.
That's good journalism right there. Okay, yeah. Let's continue on.
And Justice Kavanaugh is a drunken abuser Trump whore, and he can burn in hell. And Justice Barrett is a handmade Trump whore, and she can burn in hell. They are corrupt. Wow. They have corrupted the Supreme Court.
Okay, yeah, because... So what do you have to say about your girlfriends on the left? You know, Kagan, Sotomayor, and Jackson. What do you have to say about them?
What about a wise lady?
I don't hear you calling them whores.
Yeah, or not yet.
Not yet. Well, let's see what he has to say, you know. But they've corrupted. They're part of the corrupt system now. It's not possible that they came to a conclusion based on the Constitution.
Yeah.
You know, they misread it. Keith Olbermann, you know what? He should take over the Supreme Court because he knows it better than these nine whores, to use his word.
Trump whore?
Trump whore. There you go.
We will have to remove them from the Supreme Court.
Solution. You see, it doesn't come just with problems. He comes with solutions. And that's important.
Against a federal official.
But anyway, here we go.
Yeah.
Or create a replacement for the Supreme Court.
Aha! Uh-huh. Dun, dun, dun! Replacement for the Supreme Court. Yep. Yes, you know, I'm sure when it's unanimous like this, that's the time that you know they're whores.
Right.
He didn't say anything about his lady friends there on the court. So it would be one thing if it was 6-3, okay? And then, you know, his lady friends on the Supreme Court, you know, he would honor them. But it's only when it's so typical of the left, right? Whenever things don't go their way, the system has broken down.
Right.
It is corrupt. It is evil. It's engaged in prostitution, as it were.
Yeah.
And they must replace the system, right? Yeah. It's not possible to vote for anybody other than their person. And that's when you cry to the sky and you think it's the end of the world. Okay. I mean, look, we're very disappointed. We were when Biden allegedly became president.
Yeah.
I was disappointed when Obama became president. But did I cry? I just said, okay, let's see what we can do.
Right.
Let's hope for better circumstances. And maybe this president, who knows? Maybe he won't be such a bad president. I was wrong in my hope of that. Obama was terrible, and Biden is terrible too.
Yeah.
Anyway, there you go. But what are you going to do? But that's the life of the Democrat. All right, so there's more on, I should have talked about this before, but so AOC apparently was also confronted. I guess we should have gone back and done this, but she was confronted after seeing a movie. What movie was it? Dune, I think.
Oh, nice.
In case you're interested.
Good movie. Yeah.
Anyway, she was confronted by some reporters as to why she was not fighting harder against Israel. Let's see what she has to say, because it's worthwhile. But you could tell she's not used to being accosted.
We're not going with it. It's fucked up, man.
And you're not helping these people. TV.
And you're not helping them.
You refuse to.
You're not helping them.
Okay, so that's a little bit of an odd thing right there. So the background of this was she was confronted about this, and she said what she said about being effed up and everything else. She was talking about how confronting her is not helping the Gazans, right? And what do they want from her? That's the problem with the left. They don't realize that it's never enough.
Right.
The only thing that might be enough, and I don't even know if this is enough, is if not only did they force Israel to stop the mobilization into Gaza, but also, you know, just bomb Israel itself. Right. just destroy them. Pull all money out of Israel, destroy them, and make them walk around naked, and then walk themselves into the sea so they can be drowned into the sea. Right. That they might ultimately be okay with. Maybe. Not sure.
Yeah.
I'm saying they may be.
Right.
Because then, you know, then what's next? Once you get rid of the Jews in Israel, and you take over all of Israel, the river to the sea, after all, that is their mantra.
Yeah.
Then what do you do next? I mean, it's like the dog who chases the car. You got the car.
Right.
Now what?
Sunni versus Shia.
Yeah. They'll go after Jews elsewhere in the world. They'll go after Christians elsewhere in the world. You think there'll be peace? Really? Right. Now they've tasted blood,
right?
You know, and dogs, you know, once they get the blood in them, they want to continue on. Yeah. So pathetic. All right, your buddy Hunter Biden, we got to talk about him.
Yeah.
Have you thought about doing an intervention with him at some point?
For being awesome? What am I supposed to interview this guy? A greatest artist ever.
All right. Okay. Well, I'm going to give the mic to you now. Okay. Explain that again. Why do you not want to do an intervention with him?
The guy, he's the best painter that has ever existed, way better than Rothko or Van Gogh or Picasso. He's fun. He's loving. Great teeth. Great teeth. You know, and he's like, you know, his brother dies and suddenly he has a widow. He goes biblical and he's with that widow. Like, he's a gentleman. He's religious.
Respect.
Respect.
Hashtag respect. That's what good fatherhood is all about. He should do he should do those fatherhood commercials. That's what I think. There should be an SNL skit about that. They might do it one day when they finally figure out that he's really a bad guy.
Yeah.
Anyway, so after refusing to appear for the Republican deposition that the behind closed doors deposition, as it's supposed to be, that's the procedure, insisting that he should only appear publicly, then he does do the thing behind closed doors, the deposition, which doesn't turn out well for him. And now he doesn't want to go do the public deposition. Like, well, wait a minute, you said you wanted to do it, you wanted to clear the air, but you know, now he's in big trouble.
Yeah.
So one as to all the questions about the transactions and the meetings and what was going on during those transactions and the promises made and the money is exchanged and things like this, after all that, he couldn't remember anything other than that his father was not there at the time.
Yeah,
that he could remember, okay? But in every other respect, what was his defense? I don't know. I was really drunk at the time. Okay. Now, I think he stole that. Okay. I'm accusing him of plagiarism because that comes straight out of Dark Side of the Moon by Pink Floyd. Don't believe me? Here you go.
I don't know. I was really drunk at the time.
All right.
Yeah.
Yeah. That's from the track from Dark Side of the Moon. Okay. Yeah. I don't know. I was really drunk at the time.
Oh, really
I don't. And the fact that he said it with that British accent, I think even proves more, which I thought it was weird, right? No, I'm kidding around here, obviously. But he did say that he was drunk or high at the time, every single time. That's his defense. And what do the Democrats say the entire time? His lawyers constantly talked about two things. One, about Beau having died, and everything was about that, trying to create sympathy around that. And then he talked about how he has this alcohol and drug addiction, how he's conquering that, and he wants to do better than that. They want to make this about badgering a guy because of his drug addiction.
Yeah.
And can't they just leave him alone? Look, maybe that'll play. Maybe that'll work. Okay, look, at some point, you had these deals, and Joe Biden knew that he gets the palm off on his son's drug addiction and alcohol addiction. Is that the way it works?
Yeah.
And they can say, okay, so instead of saying, I don't know, I was really drunk at the time, does Joe Biden get to say, I don't know, he was really drunk at the time?
Yeah.
like, does he get to take advantage of that?
Yeah.
You say you want to hear that again?
I
you do?
I don't know, I was really drunk at the time.
God, I could hear that all day.
I love it. I don't know. I was really drunk at the time. These are snippets from Dark Side of the Moon, and they have many other crazy things. But that one, why should I be afraid of dying? We all got to go sometime. I see no reason for it, right? All these kind of random things that I suppose they recorded. And it's kind of fun to isolate that one in particular. So what I heard is, I don't know, I was really drunk at the time. I thought, whoa. All right. Well, so what are they going to do with this, said Devin? Are they going to just ignore it? Are they going to pretend it's not happening? Because everything from the deposition, I read a lot of the deposition, the basic summary of it is what we just said, that there were these transactions, the Hunter Biden laptop is real,
yeah.
The photos are real associated with them. And he's basically threatening and to some extent receiving bribes from foreign governments. And then they're asking him about transactions and what he did with them. And he kept on saying, I was drunk at the time.
Yeah.
Weird, right? I mean, yeah. how is this going to end? I suppose one end is that Biden wins the White House again. The Democrats somehow gain control of the House and the Senate. And so everyone scrubs the investigation. Okay, that's possible.
Yeah.
I don't see that as a likely possibility, but that's certainly one scenario. But let's just say for the discussion that this investigation continues. What do you think will happen at the end of the day?
I'll tell you exactly what's going to happen. Oh, okay. Biden will lose, and on the last day, he'll pardon himself, all of his family, and become a Republican. See, the party switched. That was a Republican who had a crack-doing son. That was Republican who took all the bribes. That's how it's going to work, because the Democrats are pure, and Republican Biden, that was the evil.
You, sir, have never been more attractive to me.
The party switched.
The party switched. That's it. That's a crisscross.
Yeah, crisscross.
Like that movie, what was it? You're Strangers on a Train? Yeah. Like, I will exchange murders. Crisscross. Yes.
Do yours.
Okay, we're being silly here, but the point is that there's some madness going on there.
Yeah.
Anyway, so the idea is it's okay that you do whatever you do when you're drunk. You call up your people and you threaten them. That's your job when you're drunk, right? So he was shaking down his Chinese business partners, but only because he was drunk at the time.
Right.
Right. That's what you do when you're drunk. Right? As you are, pretty much every other hour of the day.
Yeah.
That's what you do. You don't say stupid things and smash things and windows and act silly. No, you call up your Chinese partners and you take money from them.
Right.
That's standard operating procedure for every drunk person.
Right.
Okay.
Yeah.
And no one has ever been convicted of drunk driving. Being drunk has always been an excuse that works out for everyone. Not just the president's son, but everyone. If you have alcohol, you can do whatever you want. No consequences.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's very funny. Look, you have the big, big polling issues coming out now against Biden. And look, why do I say that I know that he's going to say madness and stupid things at the State of the Union address? Because, well, he believes that the polls are all in his favor. Yeah. I mean, he's saying that. And when they say, they asked him directly, what do you think about your polls? He goes, and he says, basically, what are you talking about? You're not reading the right polls. All the polls have me ahead. So he believes that, or he's been told to believe that. And so if he can say that with a straight face, when he's so wildly behind, even MSNBC is saying he's in big trouble.
Yeah.
There's no way he can get out of this, and Trump looks like he will win. So no doubt he'll say crime is down, unemployment's down, the border's fine, our world standing is great, he's somehow controlling Hamas, he's stopped the drug problem for that matter, and everything is primrose and happy. He's going to say everything that he can. And like I said before, his Democrat colleagues in the Congress, both the Senate and the House, are going to be clapping like barking seals. There'll be a lot of clapping. But the more important issue will be what are viewers thinking when he's speaking like this. Some people will be watching, and they'll know. They'll say right away that that's garbage. The crime is not down. Unemployment is not down. The border is not secure, and so on. All the things we just talked about. And they'll say, can this man really claim this to me with a straight face when I see right in my own backyard that this is 100% wrong?
Yeah.
And I think maybe the veneer will be taken off for a lot of Democrats. I think this State of the Union address will actually hurt him. I know that they're going in there, you know, thinking, well, it'll hurt him in the sense that he'll say something stupid, or he'll move around in such a way that looks like dementia. And yeah, okay, there's that aspect too. But I'm not talking about that. I'm saying he's going to say such outlandish things, because anything that he says that things are better now than they were 3 or 4 years ago before Trump, during Trump's time, they just won't believe it.
No.
And they'll say, you expect me to believe this crap? They'll be insulted.
Yeah.
That's what I'm talking about. It's not the little nitpicky stuff of, like, did he garble his words? Did he forget what year it is? That's important too. But I'm talking about this gaslighting aspect, and people will resent it. He may very well lose more Democrats today. A lot of Democrats, like some people in my family, some of my close friends, they'll be biting their fingernails today, hoping that he doesn't say anything stupid. I got it. But that's not what you should be worried about. You should be worried about people being pissed off. That's what I'm talking about.
Yeah.
Fannie Willis, that's the last thing we'll talk about today. Fannie Willis, is that Fannie Willis? Okay, whatever, I couldn't care less, she's a loser.
Yeah.
As I said a couple of weeks ago, I think this judge should disqualify these people, both her lover and herself, from prosecuting this case, just because they're incompetent. They've revealed how incompetent they are, right? So, I mean, the fact that they have this sort of back and forth with this money, and that they saw this as an opportunity to make money, speaking about opportunity, that's the idea, really. I mean, if I were the judge, I would say you're kicked out just for that reason alone.
Yeah.
I'm dismissing the case without prejudice, meaning that somebody can file it again, but it ain't going to be you, and it ain't going to be your boyfriend, Wade. So anybody wants to pick up the baton, be my guest, but you better have a good reason to pursue this, and not because it's a financial exploit for you.
Yeah.
The other reason that I think they should have gotten rid of the case is because the Wade guy clearly doesn't have the experience.
Right.
He never did a criminal trial before. He only did PI trials. And I don't know how good he was in that, but it's certainly not necessarily a reputable guy. He wasn't a big wig guy. It's not like Dershowitz or something like that, right?
Right.
But, you know, look, it is something that I'm going to take note of.
Yeah.
That, what is it, three of the big cases against Trump, two of them criminal, one of them civil, all being pushed by prosecutors or DAs from whatever state. All of them are black.
Yeah.
Okay? And all of them said...
Women, too, right?
And all... That's right. Good. Well, no, Alvin Bragg is not a woman.
Yeah.
But
yeah.
<he's> a, we'll see. The point is that you know, is there something to this? Is it because they wanted to have a black person behind the attack against Trump? Was that somehow more favorable to them? Would that make it more difficult for Trump to attack? That he would feel handcuffed to say too much because, you know, they might claim him to be racist every time he commented about the black person, whether prosecutor or DA or whatever, that is fighting him.
Yeah.
Maybe. I don't know.
Yeah.
But it is an interesting dynamic, isn't it? I don't know.
Yeah.
But these stories are bizarre. All of them are bizarre. The Letitia James case, we talked about that many times. And we said that there's no plaintiff, there's no fraudulent statement, and there are no damages. That other than that, it's a fantastic case.
Right.
Same thing with the Alvin Bragg case, which is the so-called hush money case. I don't like calling it the hush money case because that suggests that, as a fact, that Trump delivered the money to hush this woman from speaking.
Right.
Right? But I don't buy that. It's a settlement.
Yeah.
It's a settlement payment. You don't decide for me what the reason was. It was a complaint from a woman who claimed whatever. And he just didn't want to deal with the nonsense, and he gave her it's $130,000, I think. That's $5 to you and me.
Right.
Okay, that's what it is. And then all of a sudden it's hush money. Like, no, it's just get the F off my back money. That's what it is. Your complaint is garbage, it's nuisance. Here you go.
Right.
Okay? Get the frig off of my back. That's what it is.
Yeah.
Anyway, and then he's trying to shoehorn a state financial law versus into a federal financial law or vice versa. None of it makes sense.
Yeah.
Okay. And then put together the fact that it was all done so late in the game. And then they complain that it's just happening now, you know, that they don't have a trial right away. So anyway, Supreme Court has decided to take up the immunity issue when it comes to the January 6th so-called insurrection case. And that, it's brought by Jack Smith, the only white one in the group, but he's equally incompetent, in my opinion.
Yeah, yeah.
And he goes forward with this, and he rushes to the Supreme Court. Hey, answer Trump's special immunity question right now, and they say, okay, we'll get to it on April 25, I think, for a hearing, and then we'll probably have a decision by the end of our term in late June. That is at lightning speed.
Right.
For the Supreme Court. Yeah. Lightning speed. But the Democrats, don't you know, are complaining that somehow they're playing into Trump's delay tactics. No. Did you really think that Trump was going to just sit and take it and not appeal and not file opposing motions?
Right.
Really? That we should play your game? Oh, yeah, please race to trial against me. I can't wait for you to convict me based upon your nonsensical, unconstitutional arguments. Can't wait.
Yeah.
Of course he's going to do this. And you didn't anticipate this? You're a bad lawyer if you can't figure that out.
Right.
Right? And you brought this up the cases began in 2023, right?
Right.
Well, you could have brought all of these cases in 2021.
Right.
If you wanted to go after him after he was president, you could have done it in February of 2021. 1 month.
Right.
You didn't.
Yeah.
You waited until 2023. So that you can, because only when you saw that he was becoming a real threat, a real possibility of winning the nomination.
Yeah.
And then you went after him. And now you're complaining to the Supreme Court that they're engaging in delaying taxes, that are protecting Donald Trump. You schmucks set the timetable, not us.
Right.
Anyway.
Yeah.
It's idiotic. It's just idiotic arguments. Fannie Willis, anyway, the documents are coming out that she... that she and her boyfriend were exchanging a lot of money, and they don't have answers to the cash question, and they're telling us to take their word for it that, you know, she reimbursed him, and everything was on the up and up, you know, the $600,000, $700,000 that she paid him, no big whoop. That's for his good hard work on this matter.
Yeah.
Anyway, the judge is coming out in 2 weeks. I don't know that he can make a decision other than to disqualify. Her and him, it has to be. It has to be that, like I said, Democrats will eventually turn against their own when it's too brazen.
Yeah.
You give them no choice.
Yeah.
You know, it's a little bit like, I don't know, the captain of the police force and his son is has been caught red-handed with, you know, money bags with dollar signs on them. And there he is. And he does it over and over again. And then and the captain of the police says, look, son, I'm sorry, I can't help you. It's too brazen.
Right.
And that's the level that we're dealing with here. Yeah. So they, you know, for example, Anthony Weiner, for example, Andrew Cuomo, and I think Fannie Willis and her boyfriend, her ex-boyfriend. That, it's too brazen. You can't do this. Nobody believes them. And now the evidence is coming out that, in fact, the affair was happening before she appointed him. Obviously, it was done to help her boyfriend out and give him a lot of money. Yeah. It's all BS. They know it. The jig is up, as it were. Yeah. And for him, for the judge not to disqualify them, it would create such an appearance of favoritism that it would really undermine our system of justice. He knows it. He has no choice.
Yeah.
It doesn't matter that he gave money to her campaign. It doesn't matter that he's a Democrat also. He's going to have to do it.
Yeah.
If he doesn't do it, I mean, and he will do it. He will disqualify. But if he doesn't do it, it's just an incredible dismantling of our justice system.
Yeah, and she lied so many times under oath. And lawyers do in the court, this is the lawyer's place, should have a higher bar of behavior and how they comport themselves. Like, she should be disbarred. She said, no, never went to the White House. Yeah, you did.
Yeah.
You know, never get, like, there's so many things where, like, I've heard commentators saying, fearing it, but like all of her prosecution should be looked at again because people's lives literally were under her hand, and she does not seem like to be a serious or honest person at all.
Yeah, you make a good point. Look, I mean, it's just laughable. It'll be the stuff of late night comedies and funny thing, you know, people will have expressions like, oh, you're going Fannie Willis on this. That's what people will say.
Yeah.
And that's, I'll take you as seriously as when Fannie Willis said X at trial. That's what's going to happen in the future. So they better get this right.
Yeah.
Now, once that case collapses, and it will, ultimately, a new DA is going to have to be appointed. Now, you might say, you know, and Trump's team has to think about this. Be careful what you want. You just might get it. Sometimes you get, you know, you're going to get a better DA, a more qualified DA, right, somebody who actually knows what he or she is doing. Maybe you don't want that. Maybe you do want incompetent DAs like this.
Yeah.
Right, so there's something to that. But there's also a good chance that nobody will pick it up.
Yeah.
Because from a political point of view, they may say, well, look, if I refile this, and I really do hate Trump, you know, this will only make Trump even stronger. So do I really want to give him that sort of oxygen? Answer is no. Take it away from him. And he's got legal troubles in other areas. That's what you can say to yourself. January 6th, the insurrection thing, right? That's big time.
Yeah.
And the so-called hush money case, that's big time. Anyway, things are falling apart for the Democrats right and left. There's something, I guess I want to leave it like this, Devin.
Yeah.
It is amazing to me that Trump has suffered all these blows and survived all of them.
Yeah.
He just, you can call it a Teflon man and someone like that, but I demur to that. I don't think that's right. I think the reason why it appears that he's a Teflon man is because he is strong from within.
Yes.
He does not let fear operate in any way. He doesn't allow fear in his body. He's a true leader. Okay, you don't have to like him. I get that. You can say that he's absurd and he's brash and he writes mean tweets. I understand that. I think that he's no worse than many other people. He's guilty of being a Republican and he's guilty of being fearless. And that's about it. That's the reason why he's winning.
Yeah.
And he wins constantly. And the Colorado Supreme Court case, I mean, everyone knew that that was going to happen, but it was a 9-0 case, and the decision was well-written. It was clear that that was madness. And this case will be dismissed, and one by one, he will just win, win, win. And look, this, the immunity case, I'm not going to make a prediction other than to say I do think the Supreme Court will give him some level of immunity. They will respect some level of immunity. It has to be.
Yeah.
Because if they say he has no immunity, then that would mean that anyone could threaten the president at any time.
Yeah.
During his presidency and after.
Right.
And so if that's the case, then you could always threaten a president for actions that he undertook as president.
Yeah.
Or anything.
Right.
That's it. And they'll claim something is a crime that is not necessarily a crime, but you'll have to deal with it, Mr. Ex-President.
Right.
And that can't be, right? He'll be subject to blackmail constantly.
Yeah.
So for sure, the court will say that there is some level of immunity.
Yeah.
I'm confident about that. And they've never had the opportunity to do a bright line test. You could say, okay, well, that bright line test is this the action that you're talking about in conjunction with your duties as president, and will decide whether or not that is what you did is in line with your, but that's the problem. You still don't erase the immunity problem, because if you're deciding whether what he does falls within the scope of his presidential duties, then you're still not offering him immunity, are you?
Yeah.
He's still on trial.
Yeah.
So he has to deal with that issue first and then decide whether or not there's liability.
Yeah.
It doesn't work. It's a very clumsy situation. So if I had to bet, I would say that Supreme Court is going to say, look, immunity all the way. He just, unless you can, and then they have another problem. This is issue spotting as a lawyer. Right. Another problem is that they already impeached him for this, but they didn't convict him.
Yeah.
So he had a trial by the jury, as it were, which is the Senate. The Senate said no. And we're done. And it smacks of double jeopardy 100%. To now pursue him outside of that. So I'm sorry. I just don't see it. They may not even have to get to it. If they address that issue first and they say, look, it's double jeopardy.
Right.
Then we don't get to the issue of whether or not he has immunity, because it's already not appropriate from the outset.
Right.
That's an easy out for the Supreme Court. They don't have to make a bright line, which would be very clumsy. We'll see.
Yeah, hopefully.
We'll really see. Or maybe they'll come up with something I am not thinking about whatsoever. And that does happen every once in a while. A Supreme Court comes up with a ruling like, whoa, I did not see that coming at all. But I know that the Supreme Court will have to find that there is some level of immunity. Has to be.
Has to be. Yeah.
So, all right, my friends, I hope you've enjoyed this podcast. Devin, thank you so much again for co-hosting today. And I'm going to excuse you, because I know that you were really drunk at the time.
That's why I gave it to the big guy.
You gave it to the big guy. All right, my friend. Brock Lurie signing off, saying God bless. Talk with you next week.